Yesterday's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
Take it easy. Deep breaths. Deep breaths. Deep breaths. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Listen, mate, given that you're here for eternity, you're going to have to toughen up emotionally.
I'm sorry.
You can't put yourself through that every time you hear the dreaded beating of my wings. Now then, I've got your file here. New arrival. You are EF Tibbs.
Yes. How did I die?
In midair. Yeah, you were crossing the road, and a Mitsubishi Shogun hit you at 90 miles an hour. But it was a very nice funeral. Very nice. Even if you were buried in a jiffy bag. Now, according to the file, you were a food critic. What did that involve?
Well, basically, I'd go to top fashionable restaurants and write elegant, witty articles about food.
Why?
Well, because cuisine is very much the zeitgeist of our age. Food is an important paradigm for our culture.
No, it's not. Food's food, isn't it? It goes in your gob and comes out your bottom. Usually. No, actually, we've got an example of your column on the file here. Look, yeah. Hmm? Super chef Marco Dubois perhaps needs to be reminded that it is not de rigueur for lobster to wallow in a sauce that resembles primeval ooze.
Yes, Marco would have gone into one of his blue fits about that one. I'd have loved to have seen his face.
Yeah, well, you might have caught a glimpse of it, because he was driving the Mitsubishi Shogun. Now, I have to come up with an appropriate torment for you.
An appropriate torment?
Yeah, you know, like, for instance, if you were, say, the executive of a tobacco firm, then demons would force tar down your throat while insisting there was no objective evidence that it was doing you any harm.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty ingenious. I can think up a suitable punishment for just about anyone, really. Apart from Man City fans. They're impossible to torment. Yeah, they've seen too much.
And what punishment have you planned for me?
Good question. Let's see what I can come up with, shall we?
Oh, dear.
Look, you asked for my opinion, you said, did I think it was justifiable to switch off the life support of someone who's terminally ill, and I said, yes, because it saves on electricity. Am I wrong?
Do you know that feeling that you're banging your head against a brick wall?
No, I know that feeling of banging someone else's head against a brick wall. He used to do it to my brother. Well, till that business with the coma. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I know when I'm beaten.
What?
I had thought that deep down, if I dug far enough, I'd find a spark of humanity in you. But I can't help you change, so I give up.
You can't do that.
I just did.
No, you're the only hope I've got. Otherwise, I face an eternity of feeling empty and being persecuted for it by Satan. Why does he pick on me so much?
Well, I think you remind him of someone.
You cannot give up on me.
Now, look, I've done my best.
I know what all this is about. Satan told you that theory of how the universe works. You wrote it up into that precious book. Then he got it to that publishers for you, but they took your name off it and replaced you with Ulrika Johnson, didn't they, eh? And now you've got the hump and you're taking it out on me.
Oh, that's absurd, and quite frankly...
Yo, dudes, how's it hanging? Oh, you look like you need cheering up, Prof. You want to come and watch someone being thermidored by a giant lobster?
No, I'm tired of your sadistic little freak shows.
Ooh, I see Mr. Hoity-Toity's home.
He's in a sulk.
Did I give you an invite to this conversation, Thomas?
Well, no, I was exactly. I just sort of...
So keep your mouth shut. Oh, no, your tongue to that puff adder again. Now, Professor, you look about as happy as Bill Clinton's zip mender, so... Now, it is about Ulrika and the book. I can...
My all-powerful prince, my king of most kingly kings.
Oh, it's Hades' answer to Uriah Heep.
I've been looking for you.
You're always looking for me. It's like having a stalker.
Well, I was just... I was just wondering if there was any service I could do you, any worshipful act whereby I could prove my total devotion to you.
There is something you could do for me, actually, yeah?
Speak, and 'tis done.
Well, I was wondering if you could deploy those incredibly powerful jewels of yours.
Oh, yes.
And those fantastically sharp fangs.
Yes, yes.
And very, very slowly, eat yourself.
Eat myself?
Yes, from the feet up. Why, is that a problem?
Well, it will be when I reach the head.
Yeah, you said you wanted to prove your devotion to me, so I'm sure you'll find a way of devouring yourself completely and thus permanently removing your irritating little self from my royal presence. In the meantime, Prof, I've something to show you. Take hold of my claw. We're going up, up, up.
Do you think he was joking about the eating thing?
I don't think he was, no.
Oh. Oh, well.
What are you doing?
Obeying orders.
For God's sake. Don't devour yourself on his say so. Just run away, find some far-flung corner of hell where he'll never see you.
Ah, but then I wouldn't see him. I couldn't bear that. He gives my existence shape and a meaning. I'd rather not exist at all than exist without him. I couldn't run away. Besides, I've only got one foot now.
Why? Why do you worship him like this? He treats you with total contempt like you're a pile of dog crap.
Well, that's love for you. Why have you brought me to this bookshop?
Just to browse.
No one can see us, can they?
I think we'd know about it if they could, don't you? I am a 20-foot-high beast with leathery wings and enormous talons. I think that would attract the occasional odd look. Even in Earl's Court.
Well, there's a lot of shoppers in.
Yes, most of them seem to be crowding around that one shelf.
Oh, yes, the one with... That's my book. They're buying my book, look. Hang on, it really is my book.
Eh?
I mean, look at the cover. The Theory of Everything by Professor Richard Hope. What's happened to Ulrika?
Well, I could see you were upset by that publisher's decision to bounce you off the book, so I took possession of his mind and changed it for him. So your name's gone back on.
You possessed his mind to do something nice for me.
Yeah, yeah. But while I was there, I made him shag a blind nun, you know, so I could justify it professionally, you know.
There's a big poster with my face on it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see you're on the front cover of that Sunday supplement down there.
Oh, yes. That bit called lifestyle. What is a lifestyle?
It's what rich people have instead of a life. Now, come on, let's go and enjoy your fame.
Oh, where are we now?
TV studios. They're recording one of those late-night arts programs. You know,
yeah.
The sort you watch when you're too pissed to make it up the stairs.
Good evening and welcome to Perspective. Tonight we look at this book, The Theory of Everything, by the late Professor Richard Hope, is currently taking the literary and scientific worlds by storm. To review it, we have novelist and commentator Scarlett Doherty.
Good evening.
And from the scientist's viewpoint, the world-famous physicist, Professor Dicky Freestone.
Good evening.
What? Why are they asking that two-faced notion?
Oi, Freestone! Tell them how you stole my research on particle wave theory 20 years ago.
Can you see me?
No, so all those V signs are wasted.
If I can start with you, Scarlett, what do you make of this book?
Well, I thought it was very unsatisfactory. It doesn't seek to address or connect with women, blacks, the disabled, and frankly, he's written as if AIDS and world poverty didn't exist. Mm.
To be fair, it is a book about physics, isn't it?
That's just a pop-up, isn't it? You can't just unplug physics from the global matrix of human exploitation.
Professor Freestone, you actually worked closely with the author of this book for many years, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and sadly I have to say that as I read this book, I couldn't help but be reminded that he was always something of a fantasist, shall we say.
He's calling me a liar. Well, he's calling you a liar as well, really, isn't he? Given that you dictated it all to me.
Yes, I'm not sure I can tolerate that.
But what about the connections made in the book between the massive gravitational forces in the universe and the quantum dynamics of subatomic particles?
Well, frankly, it's fanciful poppycock. And I don't think any reputable scientist would take it seriously.
Actually, Professor, I'm going to have to stop you there because the number 666 have just appeared on your forehead.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be getting any more TV work for a while. at least not hosting Songs of Praise. Do you have to do that here?
What?
It's not exactly family viewing, you know.
Well, I can't go anywhere now, can I? Well, not unless you carry me.
And you're doing all this?
Out of love. I'm very lucky, really. I don't know of any other demon who's experienced love. It's not something we're known for. What about you? As a fleshling, you're bound to have encountered it, I suppose.
Well, I mean, there were loads of women I fancied, but none I would have eaten myself for.
Fancying? That's like love, isn't it?
Well, it's the physical bit. Yeah, but you don't have to bother with all that pretending to be interested in them as people and all that other girly stuff.
Oh, right.
Look, why don't you slow down? You'll give yourself indigestion. Where's the hurry?
What? I'm trying to get to my bottom and eat it before I need to go to the toilet. Otherwise, I'm going to end up back at square one, rather.
Right, of course. I had to ask.
That's just part of the downside of fame, Prof. People love to trash you, and worse.
Oh, I can take it. Being dead helps, of course. Death takes a lot of the anxiety out of things. And as long as I've put that wonderful theory into circulation, then what are we doing at my house? Hang on, there's a tramp going through our dustbins.
Oh, he's not a tramp, he's a tabloid reporter. Yeah. Easy mistake to make, what with the vomit stains on the jacket. And...
there's some more hats over there, look. What are they doing?
Well, can you see the front page of the News of the World that one of them is reading?
Oh, yeah, there's a bloody great picture of me. Underneath a picture of a woman with her top out.
Yeah, catchy headline too, see? Best-selling boffin bonked me in Barbados.
I've never even met the woman.
Oh, get real. It's the News of the World. Why on earth would you need to have met her?
Well, who the hell is she, anyway?
Her name's Cindy. She's a model.
Oh, really? Well, this is an outrage. Still, nobody will believe this, Croswallet.
Yeah. Especially the bit where she says you were a fantastic lover.
She says that?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't use the expression lover. No, she uses throbbing all-night love juice maker, but...
Well, I'll sue. That's what I'll do.
Dead men can't sue. Anyway, what are you getting so worked up for? You said you could take it.
Well, it's not me I'm concerned about. It's poor Deborah. I'm worried about how she's reacting to all this.
Well, you're about to find out. She's coming out the front door.
Statement to make, and then I would like you all to leave my property. I have read the ludicrous allegations made by Miss Cindy Honeygroin concerning her supposed relationship with my late husband. She is clearly a seedy opportunist and a liar. At no time did my husband ever visit the island of Barbados.
You tell him, Deborah.
And furthermore, he was physically incapable of many of the sexual positions she described. will be placing the matter in the hands of my solicitors. That is the end of my statement. Thank you and good day.
Well, Prof, she clearly doesn't believe any of it. That's good. And obviously, she can cite your lack of suppleness as evidence in court. I think she could win a packet.
She handled it magnificently, didn't she, eh? What a fantastic woman. I'm so lucky. Was so lucky.
Yeah, well, we'd better go now.
Can't we hang around here a bit longer? I mean, maybe go inside the house for a bit.
Is that really a good idea, Prof?
Well, just to watch her, just for a bit, that's all. I just think she's doing the hoovering. She always hoovers when she's angry. Oh, come on, please.
You want to go inside and just watch her hoovering?
Please.
You like to live in the fast lane, don't you?
I don't think those buttocks agreed with me. It's giving me terrible wind. Rather ironic, really.
There's not much of you left now.
I know.
Oh, please, stop.
Oh, I can't. I just feel that if I do this for Satan, then somehow, by doing it, it brings me closer to him.
It doesn't bring you closer to anything, apart from extinction.
So, you've never felt close to anyone,
then? Oh, no way, Jose. You see, you should never let anyone get close, because if you do, they'll see what you're really like. I mean, once they get close, they'll see all the fine detail of your personality, won't they? All the nooks and crannies and secret compartments, all the little cracks and holes and gaps.
I never really thought about that. I wish I was clever like you, Thomas. Are you sure you don't want to try some gonad? It's just like chicken.
I hope you didn't mind my dragging you away like that, Prof, but to be honest with you, I found watching your wife sleep in a chair a bit boring, really.
I just thought she looked really nice. But thanks for letting me stay a bit. I do know what you're up to, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Showing me all these tabloid lies and media flimflam. But I'm not at all disheartened. I bet even as we speak, there are people treating my work with the seriousness it deserves.
You know, you're absolutely right. Would you like to meet them?
Who are these three?
Well, the two sitting across the table are scientists, and the man chairing the meeting is high up in the civil service.
Right. So, we are agreed that this book, The Theory of Everything, is potentially the most important scientific document man has ever produced.
See, I told you.
Yes, obviously, Sir Frank, the priority now is to pour money into research and experimentation that can demonstrate whether the theory in this book is correct.
Of course, of course. After all, what Professor Hope potentially shows us is the very building blocks of the cosmos. And if we can just arrive at an understanding of how those building blocks connect, then the day will not be far away when we can harness this knowledge to build a weapon that could dismantle the universe.
Oh, my God.
I mean, obviously, it's not our intention to use the weapon. Just build it.
Just build it?
Oh, yes. The government feels that having the capacity to destroy the universe would be a very useful bargaining chip. Especially in Europe. Even the Germans might give away to that one.
Ah, the scientists look troubled, you see.
Sir Frank, you do realize that for any scientist of integrity, what you're proposing raises certain fundamental questions.
I told you, they're not going to play ball.
I mean, questions that go to the very heart of what scientists do.
Questions about the reasons for scientific inquiry and the means.
Questions like, will we get a new lab with a huge computer?
Our own parking spaces.
No, definitely.
No, I don't believe it. You've got to stop this.
You want me to stop people behaving in a venal way?
Yes.
You still haven't quite got the hang of what I do, have you? Oh, come on, Prof. Cheer up. So you lost the bet.
Lost what bet?
You remember. When I agreed to allowing the theory of everything to go into print, I predicted it would end in tears.
What, just because some pinstripe maniac wants a bomb built? I mean, that proves nothing.
Yeah, but...
I don't suppose they'll ever manage to devise that weapon. In the meantime, that theory may be put to use in many constructive applications.
All right, forget it. I'll get an headache. All right, we'll say the bet's still on.
Yes. You have won our other bet, though.
Our other bet?
Yes, I can't find any humanity in Thomas, so you win.
You do recall what the stake was, don't you?
Yeah. If I won, you were going to let Deborah stay with me, and if she ended up in this place.
Well, she's bound to end up in heaven, isn't she? Hey, she's a fine woman, moral, decent. Does she believe in God? Do you know at all?
No, she doesn't.
Ah, he doesn't like that.
She's got a questioning mind.
Yes, he's not too keen on those either. What he really likes is mindless subservience. I know, as a god he should be bigger than that, but he's probably a bit used to getting his own way, you know.
So, Deborah will end up here then.
Hmm? Yeah, but it'll be ages yet, won't it, eh? She looked the picture of health, didn't she? Physically very strong. You could see that when she pushed that photographer off that window ledge. Now then, I just want to check that Stumspawn's carried out my orders and become his own waste disposal unit.
Nearly finished, my liege.
No, you haven't. You're only just up to your ribcage.
There are certain logistical difficulties, Your Majesty. Especially after you've eaten your stomach. But I shall be gone soon enough, and when I am, perhaps then you'll realize you didn't have a more loyal servant than me.
I'll fetch a violin.
Because all the other demons serve you out of fear and terror. But I've served you and sacrificed myself to your will, because I...
Because you what?
Because I love you.
I beg your pardon.
I love you. I don't fancy you. No, that would be physical and weird and probably quite dangerous. No, I love you in the widest possible emotional sense. And, well, I just wanted to get it off my chest. And now I shall eat my chest.
He loves me.
That's what he said.
Well, that's not supposed to happen, is it? Not down here. Oh, this is the last straw. Scumspawn, stop chewing when I'm talking to you. You drive me mad by constantly grovelling to me and pleading to be my assistant and dribbling over my hooves, and now you humiliate me with this love thing. Well, you're history, pal. I'm going to turn you into a pile of demon dust.
Oh, why don't you stop picking on him?
What?
You heard me. You're always picking on him. Just a big bully.
Thomas.
All he's done wrong is devote himself to you totally. Where's the crime in that? Just accept his love with good grace, man.
This is extraordinary. I mean, you do realize what's happening here.
Yes, Thomas is offering me his internal organs as an adventure playground.
He's looking out for someone else.
What?
He's actually doing something for somebody else, for no personal gain.
Oh, there must be some personal gain. This is Thomas we're talking about.
But what? He's risking your terrifying wrath because he feels sorry for Scumspawn. It's a genuinely selfless act.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I never.
Thomas, a genuinely selfless... Actually, do you mind if I sit down? Oh, no, I'm feeling a bit faint.
Yes, me too.
And me.
Anyone want a piece of shoulder to keep the strength up?
No, thank you. Thomas, behaving selflessly. You don't think someone started dismantling the universe already, do you, Prof?
It's an amazing development. It's wonderful.
It's terrifying. What do you think I should do?
Well, I think you should reprieve Scumspawn and give him his torso and limbs back. Because Thomas is right, really, isn't he?
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, all right then.
Good grief, I've got my bits back!
Yes, I'm sorry, Scumspawn. I was being ungracious, apparently.
I am the Archangel Gabriel, sent by the great Almighty himself. Tell me, Satan, darkest of the darklings... A rumor is abroad in heaven that the mortal called Thomas has done something noble and selfless. Can this be so?
It is so, yes.
You must excuse me, only I'm feeling a bit faint.
Well, what do I do now, Prof, eh? I mean, Thomas does something nice, I lose a bet, you get married quarters when your missus arrives. I mean, my infernal realm's gone totally pear-shaped.
I know now probably isn't the time, sir. I was wondering if you could still possibly bear me in mind for the job as your deputy.
Oh, nothing makes any sense anymore, so why not? The job's yours. You can have my job as well if you like.
No, you're the king. Everyone knows that. I'm just going to tell the lads in purgatory. They'll be spitting bile. Scum, spawn! Scum, spawn!
Oh,
come here, Prof. What's the matter with old Billy Goat Gruff here? Look, he's shaking.
He's scared. And I know why.
You do?
Yes, because every time you looked at Thomas, you saw something you recognized. An emptiness, a kind of boredom. But now, if he's changing, then...
And how could I change, Prof?
Well, you were once an angel who became a demon. Perhaps you could get back to being an angel.
You like to go for the easy ones, don't you, Prof? No, there's no way back for me. But I tell you what, you should have seen me when I was an angel. I was so beautiful. I made Leonardo DiCaprio look like Peter Beardsley.
Sire, great news. We have a new arrival to torment. It's that chef who ran over the food critic with his shogun. Fundamentalist vegetarians planted a bomb in his cassoulet. And now he's in reception, covered in frankfurters, awaiting his satanic welcome.
Oh, give me one good reason why I should bother.
Because you are the supreme ruler of this infernal realm, and you greet all the damned.
No, not anymore. I've lost the will.
Well, then, because you are the most gifted tormentor in hell. Who else could have come up with dangling Elvis over that vat of cream buns?
Yeah, still not reason enough, I'm afraid.
But you have to come and torment the chef, because he's French.
No, that's still... All right, you took me in there.
Old Harry's game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Philip Pope, Nick Revel and Felicity Montague. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.